Hello, and welcome to the Second Funnies podcast. You are about to be listening to the wonderful stylings of Justin Worsham and Kevin Miller.
Thank you, Sam. Hello, and welcome to the Second Funniest Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. This is episode 517. With me, as always, is the one, the only, the man that can span all demographics. It has been said that he is the demolition man of demographics. And by that, I mean he wipes his butt with a seashell. That is a dated reference that most of our demographic would have to go back and...
That is Google.
Did they wipe their butt? It was never explained.
Yeah. The KevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
He was an actor in your time period, wasn't he? You don't know. Maybe you do, because we've known each other for 15 years. That was my favorite movie.
Really?
For about 2 years after it came out.
No, I did not know that.
I had it memorized.
Who is he talking? Who is she talking about?
Arnold Schwarzenegger
was an actor during your
driving
time.
Through. We're talking about the movie Demolition Man with a very young
Sandra Bullock
playing opposite
Sly Stallone
with Wesley Snipes
as the villain,
and a special appearance by. He's all over. He's on Rescue Me and
Dennis Leary.
So the premise, you got to watch this movie if you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
The premise is that it's the year, I don't know, 2012, and Sylvester Stallone was the demolition man back in the 90s, and he was a good cop but would always blow stuff up. He caused destruction in the billions of dollars in the city of Los Angeles, and so his punishment was not lethal injection, not imprisonment in life, but cryogenic freezing. So they freeze him in ice, and then he wakes up 30 years later, 50 or whatever it is in the future, where all of Southern California has become the city of San Angeles. Mm-hmm. And they have driving cars, so the Google is real. And his arch nemesis, who is Wesley Snipes, who plays Simon, has also been defreezed. And he is running an absolute muck through the city. So it was like the time for his parole, and he came out doing total chaos throughout the whole city. And so Sandra Bullock is a young and upcoming cop in this paradise of a city and decides to unfreeze Sylvester Stallone. And so they play this really weird good cop, bad cop thing that also has a strange romantic storyline to it and has these great references to the present, and one of which is Sylvester Stallone, presidential library. And she says, oh, wasn't he an actor in your time period? which is pretty great, because then he became the governor, but he didn't make it to presidential. Man, I love that movie. I gotta go watch that movie right now.
These are some fun quotes from Demolition Man. Somebody put me back in the fridge.
Yep.
Why don't you just shove a leash up my ass? Rat? This is a rat burger? It's a brave new world. Sorry, you gotta go. That's from Simon Phoenix, the villain. Not many people get a second chance, John Spartan.
John Spartan. Such a great...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
you mean fluid transfer? I think that's when he talks about kissing maybe going all the way.
So they so in that movie they have these seashells in the bathroom. They do a great job of like you're supposed to use the seashells to wipe yourself after, but they never explain how.
Hold on, this is a pretty funny exchange that I remember from the movie. This is between Simon Phoenix and a morality box, is what it's called.
Oh, yeah.
Where are the goddamn guns? You are fined one credit for a violation of the verbal morality statute. What? F you. You repeated violations of the verbal morality statute. You have caused me to notify the San Angeles Police Department. Please remain where you are for your reprimand. Yeah, right. Please show up. Effers are fast, too. Morality box busts again, and Phoenix mocks it, throwing away the ticket.
He then later swears at the morality box to get the toilet paper that he needs to go to the restroom.
Because of the seashell.
Because they don't have to bring it around.
Oh, that is a good movie.
I'm sure it really holds up to this day.
Yeah. What were we planning on talking about?
I wanted to briefly touch on our new logo. I hope you enjoy it. You were saying that you think some of the references in our logo are outdated now? You don't think, you don't think Red Dead Redemption belongs? Look how sweet it is that it's, the cloud from, I'm speaking, from Uncharted matches his beard. I mean, come on! That's why I left it in there, because it's so badass.
Dare you.
All right, your turn, go.
Demolition Man not available on Netflix streaming, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know. I've got it on my bookshelf, so if you need to borrow, you let
me. No, I was just curious. Because then I always think it's something that you could tell people, and then they go, oh, great, I can go get that. What I was saying is you were talking about the demo. You said, are these games that are popular right now?
Right, right, right.
And all I looked at was that Sly Cooper just had a new game released this year. Gods of War had a new game released this year. Uncharted and Sackboy both had games that were released within the last 12 months.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Sackboy, Little Big Planet Karting came out at the end of 2012, yeah.
So I was like, oh, well, and then I go, Red Dead, that's at least, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was like, so I was going to say Assassin's Creed or something like that would be one to throw up there.
He was on the old logo, and I took him out because we don't seem to talk about Assassin's Creed very much.
We talked about it like crazy with Assassin's Creed 3.
I just don't remember it. Because I didn't play it.
Dude. That's funny. But anyway, so that's all I was saying. I'm not saying that it doesn't look good or that it's a dated logo or any of that stuff.
Yeah,
what is that plane that's in between Kratos and the guy from Red Dead?
That is Skyrim.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nice.
I think that worked out because he splits the difference. Doesn't help if you don't know what he is.
We need to throw up that video of that guy, How I Play Skyrim. Remember
that
where he's like, and then it frees while he loots the guy's body.
That's pretty great. And then the portal key. And then I changed the logo. We didn't talk about it, but do you like the non-Xbox looking logo of the controller?
Yeah, I do. I like it. So for those of you who don't know, evidently iTunes is going to do a new rollout, and they sent out this thing for all the podcast people saying that you need to change the size of your logo. So Kevin does all the graphic design.
100
for the show.
Pixels different. So it used to be 15 by 15, mm-hmm. and now it's 14
by
14.
It was bigger. I thought it was supposed to be 300 by 300, and then now it's 1400 by 1400.
Oh, maybe they shrunk it out. I natively created it at 15:15, so maybe I just did that because I know you should do things big and then shrink them down for this exact reason. I don't remember. It's been a while.
I'm pretty sure that it used to say 300 by 300, and then now it says 1400 by 1400.
I believe
it. And I wonder, like, to me, it seems to fit better into an iPhone
and this
screen.
And this Facebook rollout is close to a 1400 across, so it must be doing something like that. It's for that banner at the top of, so when you log on to something, you probably, they're going to drop it up there at the top.
Let's hope they
of
do.
iTunes. So, yeah, we're gonna see us at the top. It's going to be awesome.
Awesome.
Speaking of awesome.
Oh, I need to.
Oh, there.
Nope, you're up.
Oh.
Production meetings are unnecessary when you do a free podcast.
Free podcast.
If this was premium, then we would have it all pretty much worked out.
Pretty much worked out.
But when you pay $2,000 of money out of your pocket and only make $150 over 4 years, you tend not to worry about that kind of stuff like pre-planning. You figure the content should be adequate.
There should be sound.
There is sound, but it's not coming from your computer.
No, there it is. It's too low on your input.
No, it's look. I'm turning it all the way up. It's too low on your output.
All right, quiet.
What? I think that's our problem. I think that's exactly what I'm saying. Is that earlier in your one horse town, I had it set to the exact same amount high level. And then now you get all universal.
I don't understand.
On it. And
all right. Well,
there's sound effects. So maybe it's just music that's playing in the background. Do you play this with a headset a lot? Is that why you're so interested in the music?
I don't think so. I'm loading up some StarCraft for us to listen to in the background here.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're about to talk about.
Do you need me to kill a couple seconds while you load up StarCraft?
What else
do
you got to talk about?
I was just going to talk about, because I saw it on the fancy list that you made, about how exciting I am that in our SFP Madden League, we're in the playoffs of the first year.
Woo!
Everybody made the playoffs.
Everybody did?
Everybody made the playoffs.
I want to be clear. I wanted to say this earlier, that people are still, you could still join the league.
Yeah.
I mean, not now because it's playoffs, but we'll
you
start
could join.
Again. Yeah,
you could join, but you just have to wait till the playoffs happen, and then you could.
That would be a great time to join because
you'd be starting scratch.
Yeah, you want to be jumping in halfway through. So
Jumped in halfway through on my league. I'm in two leagues on Madden, and I jumped in halfway through. I still made the playoffs, but lost in the NFC Championship. Oh, that was so sad.
Yo, that's pretty far. Who'd you lose to?
Oh, wait, no. I lost in the divisional round, and I was angry because if it would have been a computer game, then I could have made it to the NFC Championship, and I lost to the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
I can't remember the gamer tag, the guy, but I think it's like Teal Cat something. And we had a game where we was like, oh, my gosh, it was a scoring fest, and he was destroying me. And literally, the game was over. It was the waning minutes, and then the servers lost connection. And I was like, And I had to send him a message like, dude, that was not me. Like, and I don't know if you could still do that, but back in the day when Madden first went online, there was a way that you could unplug your network cable, and then it wouldn't count against you as the score. So anytime somebody was losing, they would just do that. And I was like, that's not me. I would take the loss, you know? And he's like,
of course you would.
But then we play again. But it's like we had an exhibition match, and I kind of he knew his defense, and he had figured out a way to stop me, and I wasn't good enough. But he made me a better player because now I had to figure out, oh, if I'm getting sacked a lot, I need to go to a shotgun formation if I'm going to pass, because he had a way of just, you know, there's ways you can line up guys, and as soon as you say hike, and then it's you're down on the ground.
Yeah.
So anyway, but then he lost in the Super Bowl to the guy who's the Ravens. And now we're in the offseason.
That's so funny how it all mirrors.
Yeah, I know. Reality. I was like, go kill those Ravens.
I don't think Ravens are in the playoffs in our league.
No, yeah, they are not.
The Bengals, however, are killing it.
Yeah.
How did that? What?
Kevin is alone in the AFC. So if anybody is a fan of a team in the AFC and wants to take on
I literally am going to the Super Bowl out of default.
I would like it to not be if you like the New York Jets, the Miami Dolphins. Or who's the third one? Is it the Texans?
Bills.
The Bills.
Don't take the Dolphins away from me because they are so much fun to destroy.
Kevin destroys
them. And I played the Cardinals early in the season just as the real Patriots did, and it was comical. It was like watching Keystone Cops. Like the quarterback would throw the ball, and I was like, oh, okay, they're going to get the first down. Nope.
The worst is when you have a team that you're just destroying, and then they kick a field goal that's like past the 30-yard line, and it just shanks for no apparent reason.
I hate it when it goes the opposite, where I'm like, he's going to make a 56-yard field goal. And it's like, clean and perfect. I'm like, if I did that, it'd land.
Janikowski used to do that for the Raiders all the time in the game.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He could kick a field goal from the 40-yard line, and it would just be like he was doing it from the 20.
All right. American football. Play it. Join us in the league, though. Seriously, join it. It's a SFP fun.
Yeah, I'm excited because now we get to play against real people, and it's all coming down to the playoffs.
I played you just a couple weeks ago.
I like to fancy myself. I mean, realistically, it's going to be one of us against you in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's realistic.
Unless I try to beat with a computer like 6 times in a row and don't restart the game, because I won't do that. Like I get emotionally angry when I play.
Oh, really?
This game. Yeah. Like Kat doesn't like it when I play it late at night because if I lose or if it's hard, I'm in a funk for the rest of the evening.
Dude, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
It's not okay.
I just need to reevaluate my priorities next season.
Yeah, we need to.
And I might need to be okay with taking a loss.
Yeah,
more often.
Yes.
Or
I mean, you're number one seed, and you only lost twice.
Three times.
Once, three times?
Two to computers, once.
Dude, you could lose 6 games and still make the playoffs.
What I need to do is get better at the game. That's the
also
truth.
Because
I am stumbling around in the dark. And
yeah, here's the thing. For you
I'm
to
like
walk
my
away.
My son crawling on the ground and being like, why can't I move? And why do I want to move? And what is this thing in my mouth?
For you to walk away being a number one seed in the AFC as the Patriots, having your first ever season of Madden football. Dude, you're fine.
All right, thanks.
You're doing. There's no we need. If you lose a game, you shouldn't walk away going, "Oh,
so mad."
Not at all.
So mad.
Not at all.
So play that. So I'll talk about this, and then I want you to talk about Assassin's Creed, since apparently that's a popular game.
We talked about it, you jerk.
I want to talk about you finished Liberations. You haven't talked about Liberations.
No, I could do it in 2 sentences.
Do it. Go.
I was excited to start playing the game, then played the game, and then it ended, and I was like, oh.
Oh, really?
And I don't mean that to be as like, oh, like, you know how we talk about we're anti-nerd rage. Or like, I'm not that. It's just like, it was one of those games where it's like, oh, that happened.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I, you know, I'm trying to direct any of my heavy gaming time. Like, there are games like StarCraft.
Yeah.
Portal 2.
SimCity.
Like, games that, like, Guild Wars. That, like, you want to sit down.
They own a piece of your heart.
Yeah, and play a game. Like, there are those. And then, but anything else that's like Sonic the Hedgehog Racing.
Yeah.
You know, I want to play
popcorn
that game.
Popcorn gaming.
Yeah, but I don't want a popcorn game on my iPhone. I want a popcorn game on my Vita. And so I wish I'd see more games like Mega Man X. Or Mega Man 10. I want that on the Vita.
Can't you play that on the PSN?
You can get the PSP port of the Japanese Mega Man 2, but the Mega Man 10. What I want is Mega Man 10 on my Vita.
Yeah.
So that while I'm at work, I can crank out 20 minutes of
well,
Mega
I've heard
Man.
Tale through the grapevine that there are many a company that's making old games that have become collector's editions, and they're putting those collector's editions as a Vita port.
Nice.
And I think that is a solid business plan because for me, as like you're hardcore, right? Yeah. Early adopter. I am guy who's like, oh, I like this Vita now. That would be great for me. Mm-hmm. I don't care because that will make me keep being happy that I bought a Vita, even though you don't have any new launch titles coming on the horizon, that I'd be like, oh, I can't wait to. And I think that's the way that mobile gaming needs to go.
That's what mobile gaming normally does. Like every iteration of a mobile gaming usually borrows from the library of the previous console of the same manufacturer. You look at Game Boy Advance, right? It was all SNES titles. It was like, and some.
But I felt like, here's what I guess for me, Game Boy was mostly Tetris. I played a lot of Tetris, but
original Game Boy. But I'm saying the like Game Boy Advanced was Mario World,
right?
And Yoshi's Island,
okay,
and those things that were big about 5 years earlier. And that's the typical mobile gaming experience. And I think Sony actually tried to say we want to produce new games for this, like original content, which is great, except for I agree. Like, I want to see, just bump up your content. Like, give me ports of games, because I've never played Mega Man 10, and I'm not.
And I would do it on a Vita.
I'm not going to play it on my PS3.
Because that's what I was going to say, is that for me, the Game Boy, the original Game Boy, was that's where I bought games, or I had my parents buy games at that point, that I would love to play but didn't want to play on my console.
Yeah.
So it was not fun to play if I'm sitting in my room, but it's super fun to play if I'm in the car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
Definitely,
far beats that.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this
or
is
like
great.
Or like hanging out with other people or wait in a waiting room. Oh, gosh, it's so much
fun. But if I'm looking at Mass Effect 3 or Mega Man 10, I'm going to play Mass Effect 3 10,000 times sooner than I'm ever going to play Mega
Man
10
sucks?
Or the Walking Dead game of the year.
Ugh. You know what game sucks in a waiting room? Sound Shapes. When I was big into that, my wife was pregnant and we'd be in the waiting room and I was like, I can't play this without headphones, and I'm not going to be that guy next to his wife with headphones in a waiting room. Like, I'll play some other thing.
Nothing makes you look more like a baby's daddy.
Yeah, exactly. Which I'm wearing Sound Shape shirt. This one's probably yours. And you're familiar with Mega Man 10, right? And what it is. So they, you know, the Mega Man titles were huge when we were kids, right?
Yeah.
And then they start.
I just never got into those kinds of games.
But they were really great because they had kind of the early choose your own level next, like Mega Man 3. I think
like how you'd upgrade.
Yeah. So you'd choose a level. So the screen would often be like the Brady Bunch.
Mega Man being in the middle.
And then you choose one of the bosses, and you could choose any of the eight. So
go
instead
in any
of,
order.
Yeah.
And then you beat that boss, that would upgrade your weapon.
You get
a
that weapon,
way.
And so sometimes. Sometimes you'd use that weapon, it would help you. Like, you'd have to think, like, this guy's weak against this, so it's really good if you do this boss first. And so there'd be strategies on how to unlock that. So then Mega Man grew up, and the consoles grew up, and they put him as a first-person shooter, and they did a bunch of other stuff with it. And it just, during the GameCube era and some other different consoles, and it just never had the same luster that the classic game. So somewhere along the line, about 2 years ago, somebody was like, you know what really sold? Those stupid 8-bit games that we did with Mega Man. So they made a new one in the 8-bit version of Mega Man. That's Mega Man 10.
Wow.
So it's a whole new game that
made
looks
in
like
the modern era, but it's 8-bit.
But it looks like the old, you know.
Awesome.
And as much as I crap on Minecraft, I feel like that's where it works, because that's what that game was. It was an 8-bit game, and you're creating a new 8-bit game experience.
Awesome. I was kind of hoping, because it's funny that I don't know that we've even talked about this off the show. But that's what I was like, you know what I'd love to play on my Vita is those Mega Man games.
Yeah. You can get the Japanese port, which I've considered doing, but it's a Japanese PSP port. So it's not even a Vita game. It's not even an American game.
Yeah.
So if you wouldn't get, there's not a lot of story to it, but you also be like, well.
I've enjoyed, for any Vita owners that are, that like also the God of War series, I've enjoyed so far. I'm not that far into it.
Darksiders?
But the God of War game for PSP.
Oh, yeah.
I bought the Assassin's Creed PSP game. Did not enjoy it, really. It's like, oh, well, if you really like Assassin's Creed, it's fun, but it's not much of a game.
Right.
It's just more of the same. But God of War, what's nice of more of the same of God of War is that it is what it is. It's just like kind of a button smasher fighting and just blood and all this stuff everywhere, and then occasionally you get to have a three-way and all that stuff.
Rated M for mature.
Yeah.
Have you played Darksiders at all?
No, I need to.
I'll let you borrow it. It's pretty fun.
Is it on the Vita?
No, but I've got it on the PlayStation. But it's like somebody saw God of War and they're like, we should do this with Judeo-Christianity.
Oh!
So it's like this completely made up, almost satirical, nonsensical theology. Oh. There are four gods that did what with the who now? But it ties in like... Revelation and their angels and devils, but it's all in this like fictionalized universe, whatever. But after that, it gets really cool. So the first Darksiders, of course, Darksiders 2 is out, but the very first level is very cool because you're this dude, and literally all hell is breaking loose in a city as demons and angels are fighting each other in the city. So like, and they're these like really badass angels that like, so this demon will be rawr, stomping in front of you, and then out of nowhere the fighter angels flying will rawr, and smash, and they'll crash down to the ground. And I was like, this game is incredible.
Yeah.
And then that's like level zero. Then you something happens and you get outcast for 100 years, and then you come back and the whole city's been taken over by the devil, and you never see the cool angels again. And I was like, okay.
Wow. I think I told you a long, long time ago. I think I was in Texas, and this dude at a GameStop, I was looking for a game to buy to play at the, or maybe it was Milwaukee. I was in Milwaukee. And the guy at the GameStop, he was like, I'm just looking for a game that would be fun to play because I just finished whatever it was I just finished. And he's like, you should get that Darksiders game. And it was like one of those games that wasn't really advertised. Like, it didn't get the billboard attention that Darksiders 2 has gotten.
Yeah.
And I was like, really? I go, I've never heard anything of it. He's like, dude, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty
and
great.
And then you had played it and said it was incredible. So, yeah, I need to make that my next
Have
title.
I mentioned it on the show? We've been talking about this.
Yeah, we've talked
stuff.
About it a couple times.
Oh, I don't remember anything. So, StarCraft, which we've been listening to for a while now, is pretty great.
When did this new version come out?
Oh, just 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So, StarCraft 2 was released... whatever, 2 years ago, back in March, or of whatever, 2010. And it was announced that it would be a three-part trilogy. And if you're familiar with the StarCraft universe, how well do you know the StarCraft universe?
I played, like, a couple levels. I bought, like, the game a long time
That's
ago.
Right. When we were all playing it, you tried. And then you returned it, right? So won't be convincing you tonight to buy StarCraft. SimCity, though.
Mm.
Yeah, pretty soon. So you have the three races, and they are the Protoss, the humans, they're called Terrans, and then the creatures that are called the Zerg. And the first one is the humans, which are Terrans, and you know, it's all robots and mechs and that kind of thing. And then the Zerg are this current campaign. It's called Heart of the Swarm. And seriously, it is mind-boggling how great... the cinematics are for this game. And I'm not usually the one that is like, yeah, cutscenes are the way. That's what games should be about. Stopping what you're doing and watching a movie.
Nothing like a break in the action to really kick things up a notch.
Let's check it out. But the very first, and I'll play it for you. You'll miss the visuals. If you don't know the game, definitely go over to YouTube and just watch it. Try to watch it on HD because it is... It's like, how can this be this good? This is a game company.
I was impressed
company.
With the last one, StarCraft 2. That's what I got.
And it's like, this looks like something that should be in a feature film, in a epic feature film, and it's a game that you play here. So, we're all loaded up. Oh, wow. So it just loaded up for me. I was in the middle of a mission. I didn't want to play this.
Is your character's name Kerrigan? Is it Nancy Kerrigan?
Yes, that's her.
Are you going to have a knee injury?
Yes. Return to the Lithuanian. So what is so, I mean, they are right in the pocket of this genre. What has always been so much fun about it is this, you know, this constant battle between three forces. And let's dial it back. So if you're familiar with RTSs, they all kind of stem from Command and Conqueror way back in the day. Well, Dune came after. Command and Conqueror was first.
Wasn't that like the first licensed strategy game?
Yes, and which was great because Dune actually involved it's creepy in here.
Yeah.
Dune actually involved an element that no game really since then has had, which is your resource gatherer actually being out in the field that you had to defend on a regular basis, which was a lot of fun. But even Dune had, Dune was cool because eventually there's a level in it where you had one unique character. Like, you could eventually build, like, sonic tanks or a flying thing, or depending on which team you sided with, there was one unique vehicle or weapon. But everything else was identical. You all had the same amount of soldiers. And so, like, Blizzard made Warcraft, which is, orcs versus humans, and it was the same thing. Like, they were either you were riding horses or you were riding wolves if you were the orcs, but it looked identical. And then they came out with StarCraft, which was the very first time where they went, there are three different sides. They don't look a thing alike. So at the base, they all gather resources the same, and they have same, like, they've got flying units and they've got this. But they all think very differently, and it takes a totally different strategy to win with each of them. And I'm going to break it down to a meta level. I'd love to, if it's some magical world where we could get somebody from Blizzard on here, I'd love to discuss this with you. Yeah, no doubt. They're a monolithic team. I imagine we could get some
arena forever.
We could probably get some animator. That's what I've learned, that they'd probably be down with talking with us. But like to actually get a game developer on here, I would be surprised. We'd have to be the Nerdist. So what I really think that the game has come down to, if you're the old adage that you can, when you produce anything, you can get two of the three things that everybody wants, which is that you want it to be fast, you want it to be good, and you want it to be cheap. You want it to be inexpensive. But you can only ever afford to get two of the three things, right? You want it to be fast, cheap, and good. But you know, if you want it to be fast and you want it to be good, it's probably going to cost you...
We'll never conquer our enemies by doing nothing.
Excuse me, I'm talking.
Yeah. Sounds like somebody's giving me bedroom voice.
She's a squid hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah. My kind of lady.
You know, and so if you want something to be fast and you want it to be cheap, it's probably not going to be very good.
Right.
And if you want it to be good and cheap, whatever, it's not going to be done anytime soon. So I think that's the basic strategy for each of these three races. And they get two of the three things, but none of them have the ability to be fast, cheap, and good. And you kind of wrap your brain around each of those elements. So the story-wise, though, so in the very first game, in the first StarCraft 2 in Wings of Liberty, you play as Raynor and you kind of go on this mission to save mankind and kind of clear your name and overthrow the evil empire that's been around. Meanwhile, from the first games, your girlfriend, Kerrigan, had been abducted by the Swarm, by the Zerg, and they've been using her to be the Queen of Blades. So she's the mega mind she's now the leader of the Swarm people. So you have like this human resistance guy, and his girlfriend is the leader of these evil alien creatures. At the end of Wings of Liberty, you save her from the Zerg. You bring her back. And so the beginning of the second game starts with this rehabilitation of her back into human society. So she's starting to... She forgets about being the Queen of Blades, and she's starting to feel more and more human just when everything goes terrible. And they kidnap the old Emperor, kidnaps Raynor, kills him, executes him, and she goes on a rampage and reconnects with the Zerg. So now she's fully human, but she still retains her ability to control the Zerg, and so she's reuniting all of the Zerg forces in order to go strike revenge on the Empire that destroyed her boyfriend.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like... It's brilliant, because the Zerg are definitely the aliens.
This is what blows my mind, though, is that how is it that these are, like, two of the most popular video games in the world, and yet we have not seen a film about them?
Yeah, that's a good question.
And yet Uncharted is, you know, trying to be a movie.
I think it has to do with, like...
Street Fighter was a movie.
Maybe this is why, because Street Fighter was terrible.
Far Cry, also a movie.
Also.
Yet, StarCraft and... World of Warcraft are not movies.
There might be a reason, you know, maybe they would rather do their own thing and not be attached to films, unlike Star Trek. So this is a little scene.
Oh, we have to go.
Oh, it's over now.
I really hope it doesn't annoy people to listen to us watch something, but it is, it's absolutely gorgeous. We're seeing a ship open up.
Jim?
And it does. The animation is so smooth. I mean, then the detail is amazing.
Where's Jim?
We.
Well, that's a little weird.
Get him out.
It's like a bunch of super high tech. Oh boy.
So she's doing the Vader neck pitch.
So she's the one that's been reunited with the Zerg.
Mm-hmm. She will be.
Valerian is helping us.
There is no us.
She's got some psychonic powers. She's a ghost.
Yeah. She's got some other powers, too.
IFF negative. Multiple hostiles.
He was just watching the screen. See, like, look at this. Come
wow.
on.
Wow.
Attack response squads, 3-9.
Wow.
Hull breach, frame 7, deck 3. Defensive maneuver, Delta 4. Prep all stations for jump.
No one is going anywhere until I see Jim.
Shields at 30. Failure imminent. Dominion fleet. This is Hyperion. Cease fire. Crown Prince Valerian is aboard.
My father will sacrifice any piece on the chessboard to take the queen.
We have to jump now. We'll lead them away and circle back for Jim. Decompress Sarah. We need to work together.
She's walking away.
Do what you want. I'm going to find Jim.
Now all the ships are warping away. She's on a little ship going back to the planet to see if she can find Jim Raynor, who used to be on the Second Funniest Podcast keyboard as the eyes under the spacebar.
He's the one that I played as in StarCraft 2, yes?
Yes, yeah, okay. He's the one. And do you recognize her voice?
Kind of, but I don't know who it is.
So they recast it since the newer games, but it's the same woman who was in... Battlestar Galactica, the blonde chick from Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, not Katie Sackhoff or Stackhoff.
Yeah, I'm terrible with names. Forgive me if she's listening.
It's the number 7.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The hot chick. Gaius. That was number 7.
Catherine was at, my wife was actually the one that pointed out. She's like, that sounds like the girl from Battlestar. And I was like, which one? She's like, Gaius. I'm like, oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, she must have said that line 40 bajillion times. Oh. What is her name? I'm going to pull it right now.
3, 2,
Trisha Helfer.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. So I recommend picking this game up. I mean, you saw some of the in-game stuff, the world of it, getting to choose the worlds, harvesting the missions. Like, I equate it.
Here's the real selling point for our listeners.
Yeah.
Will you play it with them?
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, because... well, here's the problem with it, I was telling somebody, is that, like, StarCraft, people play StarCraft professionally, right, all over the world.
Good for you.
And you can play, like, you and I can sit, and a few of our friends have gotten together and played against random people in the computer, and it's a little like trying to go to Vegas and play poker professionally. Or as I've said, like, I know how to drive a car. I cannot participate in NASCAR. Like, there is no way. And that's what StarCraft, like, it is that level of detail in order to play this game professionally or compete with some of the people. There is absolutely always somebody that's better than you at this game. So the head-to-head stuff, the PvP stuff, it gets not old to me very quick, but there's definitely it's an endless road that I can never make any headway down. Like, I can get a little better about figuring out strategies, but that just is tiresome. The campaign in these StarCraft games are bar none. They're just so clever, so interesting, interspersed with awesome cinematics, great dialogue, and really good storytelling that has an open narrative to it. Like, so depending on which, like Mega Man 10, depending on which world you choose will affect which units you have access to as the campaign goes down. And that can change every time. And then they have this new kind of role-playing aspect to it, where you can choose power-ups for each of your units that aren't available normally, but you can make your Zerglings be hoppers or speeders, so they're your basic unit, and so they can either like scurry across the map really quick, or if you'd rather, develop the ability for them to leap over stuff like raptors and claw at things with their little grasshopper wings. You can do that.
Wow!
So every time you play, like, you could, I will probably play the campaign through twice just to experience the other upgrades that are there.
How long do you think a campaign will take you, gameplay hours?
I had a buddy that finished it in 4 days of solid gameplay through it. I imagine this is a 20-hour game, 10 to 20, depending on your speed. Yeah.
Real quick before we go, but how much have you enjoyed the... Oh, you don't have the cable anymore, huh? You haven't seen the new Gears of War commercials?
No.
Oh, they have the best song in the world.
I'll pull it
And
out.
One of them that just reminded, there's a guy standing by, and it's like, finish something or other in this much time, and then the next thing it says, and he's just standing there leaning on his lawnmower looking all cool, and it's like zero vacation days left. It's like, that's such a solid thing that these kind of gamers all know about. I love that documentary Skins, if anybody who hasn't seen it, it's available, I think, on Netflix streaming. I know that's where I think I saw it, either that or Netflix, but talks about like World of Warcraft releases and guys that come home from work and their wives boot up and log on to their profile, so as soon as they walk in the door, they can play the game all night until they have to go back to work. So give us a call, 408-228-4911, or send us an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com. Join the conversation, facebook.com/secondfunniestpodcast. Follow us on the Twitter @secondfunniest. But the real big thing we're pushing is we want everybody within the sound of my digital voice to throw a like at facebook.com/IWantSlyCooper in his own animated series.
Well done.
If we could get enough of this, we could, as I like to say, Betty White this bitch and make it happen. On behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, this is Just Worship saying,
okay, bye.